Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Spooky season year round.
On a spookies. Okay, guys. Today, we're going to have a little spooky sesh. We're going over to Cades Cove. Now, if you live around here, you've probably taken a ride up to Cades Cove before. If you haven't ever been to Cades Cove, it is a lovely ride through the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. There's a lot of wildlife. You usually can see, like, some bears, lots of deer, hawks, eagles, all kinds of stuff like that.
And they're people-ized ones, too, so they'll, like, come up to your car.
Yeah, you do not get out.
Yeah.
But, yes, just they don't really care if you're there.
Yeah. And if you go there and you walk around, don't leave snacks in your car.
Yeah, because they'll come. They know where the snacks are at. And so at its height, in its heyday, Cades Cove was home to 700 people, 137 homes,
wow,
cabins, homesteads, yeah, whatever you want to call them, 12 cemeteries, 5 churches, and 5 schools.
That's a lot of cemeteries.
Yeah, it's big. So there are a lot of cabins and homesteads and stuff remaining there. And a lot of people have done like EVP work or recorded like some weird, like people in windows and
yeah,
stuff. So if you want to like scroll through YouTube, there's a ton of videos like that, that it's like haunted Cades Cove or, you know, whatever. But I was able to put together 3 kind of like urban legend-y haunting spooky things that have happened in Cades Cove.
Lores.
And the first one I'm going to say is the cabin in the woods.
Yes.
There's a little cabin off in the woods. They say that like you're not going to see it every time you go, but if you're frequent there or if you go when it's like less busy, you're more likely to see it. There's a little cabin. It looks just like a really small, like, one-room cabin off of the southern end of Loop Road on the east side of the road, down in the woods a little bit. You'll see a small cabin all by itself. There's no trail. There's no parking like other parts of the park where you see homesteads. And if you park and you start to make your way down to it, as soon as you look away, it's gone. And once you get to the spot where you're like, okay, this is where it was
like,
at.
This is it.
There's no trace of a foundation, not a chimney, not a rock, not anything down there. And they say that it's like only on like not busy, you know, certain times of the year that it you'll see it. But you don't always see it.
Yeah.
But it is just the disappearing cabin in the woods. And then the next one we're going to talk about is probably my favorite one, and it's called the Cussin' Cover. This legend starts with the Estep family, which consisted of just Miss Mavis and Mr. Basil, husband and wife. They live in a 2-bedroom cabin in the Whistling Branch area of Cades Cove. Now, Miss Mavis has a little bit of an unusual fear. She's terrified of being struck by lightning. And this is because she was born in a thunderstorm, and so the old wives' tale that if you were born in a thunderstorm, that thunder would come looking for you, and you were going to get struck by lightning when you grew up or whatever. So she was always terrified of lightning. And so she didn't keep hardly anything metal in the house. She was very careful about going out in a thunderstorm or anything like that. And she was also an avid quilter. And so she would make these beautiful, like, you know, the old Texas Star pattern quilts, that kind of thing. And back in those days, you used the scraps of clothing or whatever to make your quilts, because you had to be a little bit through.
Well, they weren't decorative quilts.
No, they were these. But the ones that she was most proud of were the ones that used the scraps of Basil's favorite red flannel. This particular flannel got the nickname the cussin' cover. When they had their first marital fight, Basil was wearing this flannel. And because of his colorful language during the fight, that's when it got the nickname the cussin' cover. And so then the quilt that she made out of scraps of this flannel, well, it wasn't lightning that came for old Mavis. It was sickness. And she got sick, and she kind of came to terms with the fact that she wasn't going to make it. She gave Basil her blessing to remarry after she passed on two conditions. One, Basil could never sell any of her quilts. He had to keep them.
Fair.
Two, Basil could never, ever put any of her quilts on a metal bed frame. Because remember, she's terrified of light. So Basil says, of course, Mavis, I'll do that for you. And after Mavis passes, you know, gives it a goodly little year or so. And he marries a much younger woman named Truly Jane. And Truly Jane, when she moves into the cabin, decides, oh, no, we're going to have to update this.
Yeah, outdated.
We got to get this old wood bed that your wife died in out of here. This metal bed frame with springs and all, you know what I'm saying? And so Basil finally gives in and says, okay, fine, Truly, I'll get you this metal bed frame. And so Truly moves into the house, starts making herself at home. And one really cold night, she says, oh, Basil, why don't we add an extra quilt to the bed because it's so cold tonight? And he says, okay. And by fate or by accident, she picks the cussing cover. And so they go to bed. They're both asleep. Got the quilt on the bed. And all of a sudden, Truly wakes up with a start. And at the end of the bed, there is this woman apparition screaming at her. And so she wakes up Basil real quick. The woman disappears. She tells Basil all about it. Basil says, you are just dreaming. Go back to sleep. She's like, okay, fine. She's like, I guess it probably was just like a nightmare or whatever. I'll go back to sleep. And then couple hours later, after they both settle back in the bed, bright light fills up the whole of the East Step cabin. And Truly is thrown out of the bed. And when the smoke clears, there lays Basil, burnt slap up, right in the middle of the metal bed frame. And everything around him is fine. Just him and that bed are burnt slap up, charred, blackened, done for.
She told him.
Rest of the cabin is untouched, and there were absolutely no thunderstorms reported. No rain, no nothing. Wasn't even windy. Just a cold night. And so the rumor is that Miss Mavis's quilts are still floating around the Smokies today.
I hope they're not on a metal bed frame.
I think you'd know if they were. Mm. So I thought that was a fun one.
I like that one. I thought
the next one I have is the ghost light. And this is the Parsons Branch Road area. There was an old moonshiner who was running his corn. And he, you know, he was on his horse. He had his little pack. He was headed back to the homestead, right? And so he was running at night. He was kind of doing it under the cover of darkness.
Yeah.
And he's plodding along through. Him and this horse have ran this trail a million times, right? And all of a sudden, his horse stops dead in the middle of the trail. Just whoop, stops. He's like, come on now.
Let's go.
And the horse is not, ain't gonna do it. And so he is just kind of like looking around, trying to figure out like, why is my horse stopped? Like, because horses will spook. There might have been a mountain lion around. Yeah. There could have been a bear around.
They can sense things we can't.
And so he's like checking out and he's like, why is the horse stopped? And out of corner of his eye, he sees a light and he thinks, oh, well, somebody's probably coming through the woods right here. And he watches this light float through the trees. It's just a ball of light.
Just like an orb?
Mm-hmm. And it just comes right over the trail, a couple feet in front of him, goes right over the trail, and then follows the ridge line out of sight. And the horse is like, I am not crossing that line.
I'm not following that.
Won't do it. And it takes him a while of poking and prodding to get this horse to go. And eventually he gets back home and everything, tells the story to everybody, and they're all like, oh yeah, sure, you've been in a little too much of your own shine there, ain't you? And soon after this, one of that moonshiner's family members passes away. And everybody says, oh, that was your omen, you better change your ways.
Yeah.
And apparently he quit moonshining altogether. But that is not the, okay, so this is how I stumbled into my next true crime case here.
Okay.
That is not the only report of orbs like that we get in national parks. It's actually a fairly common occurrence.
All national parks or just like Cherokee national parks?
No, all national parks.
Okay.
We're talking Yosemite. They've been Yosemite, Yellowstone, Grand Tetons. Zion National Park? Lake Tahoe. I mean, the list goes on.
But they say, like, nature has, like, energy in it, and those are all very...
Well, and a lot of people want to say, like, it's ball lightning, mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that, but these people make it sound more like it's ethereal.
Something like this before, the one...
Round Mountain Heights.
Yeah, so...
Which, by the way, is not far from Cade's Cove.
Right. Well, that's why I asked if it was just Cherokee. That's wondering.
But there are orbs or similarly bars of light are also reported. Like long, linear.
Yeah.
Just float, move slowly, hovering above the ground. Because you can see it's illuminated under it. There's nothing holding it.
I'm a little bit older. Do you remember the show Ghost Rider that used to come on Saturday mornings? That's exactly what I'm imagining in my head. Like that orb that would show up and...
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, yeah.
Well, and no matter if it's here, if it is Grand Tetons, a lot of that also has Native American roots to it. So, is it Native
American? I mean, they're called natives for a reason.
Right. That's wild, though. So, yeah, go visit Cade's Cove. Randy loves Cade's Cove.
I just like to take a truck up there.
Because you can plug stuff in, is that why?
It's one of my favorite features.
Now you know. Bye, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.